Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, April 29th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
32 Zimbabwean women who were allegedly abused in Kuwait are set to go back home at dawn.
We are right now organizing the departure of all our 32 girls. All tickets are now in place.
And Zimbabwean workers say there is no reason to commemorate Labor Day as they are struggling to make ends meet.
I have not been paid for 7 months and I can't fend for my family. My children are dropping out of school.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Zimbabwean women who were stranded in Kuwait, where they expected to get high-paying jobs, are set to leave the country at dawn for Harare after they were abused by their employers. ZANU-PF MP Kindness Paradza, who was part of a parliamentary delegation visiting the country on House of Assembly mission, said the 32 women and girls are happy to be going back home. Paradza tells Studio 7 the returnees that were promised good jobs in Kuwait but ended up being forced to become commercial sex slaves and engage in some menial jobs will receive help as soon as they arrive home.
I'm in Kuwait together with my delegation, which includes Chief Msarurwa, and we are right now organizing the departure of all our 32 girls. All the tickets are now in place, and we should be departing for Dubai before proceeding to Harare.
Honorable Paradza, what happens to the parents that have some of their children who are part of these 32? When do they get to meet their children?
So when we arrive tomorrow in Harare, the Speaker of the National Assembly will hand over all these girls to Minister of Public Service, Social Welfare, Honorable Mfulira, and also Minister of Health, Dr. Parelinyatwa, because we need a medical team to be in place, and we also need the counselors to be in place, and then these girls are going to be taken to a government safe house so that they can debrief even our security sector as well about what has been happening to them here.
So for the parents who are anxious to meet their children, are they allowed to come to the airport or what's the procedure?
We welcome the parents to the airport. We welcome also other women to the airport to come and welcome these girls. We welcome the parents. They must come to the airport, the parents, for the 32 girls. And we've identified other 5 as well who will be coming later, possibly next week. And we are doing the processes as well. But I must also point out that there are about 5 girls who are Zimbabweans, who are here, who are working in cahoots with a syndicate, which is here. And they are sending WhatsApp pictures to our girls in Harare, telling them that there is luxury here in Kuwait, there is money here in Kuwait. So they must never, never allow themselves to be tricked that way.
That was Kindness Paradza, a ZANU-PF lawmaker, speaking with Studio 7 from Kuwait. Some Zimbabweans who are said to have facilitated the women's trip to Kuwait have already appeared in court facing charges of human trafficking.
Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé says African countries should play an active role in boosting inter-regional trade. Officially opening the 57th edition of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair today in Bulawayo, attended by President Robert Mugabe, several ministers, members of the diplomatic community, and thousands of Zimbabweans, Mr. Gnassingbé said African nations should break all the trade barriers in order to create a conducive condition for booming businesses.
Comme vous le savez, le potentiel de développement de commerce en Afrique est immense.
As you are aware, the potential of trade development in Africa is immense.
Mais sa part dans le commerce international demeure très faible.
But its part with regard to international trade remains weak.
Si cela peut être dû à l'existence de barrières insidieuses, souvent non tarifaires,
that leaves vast domains of various opportunities.
Si cela est dû à ces obstacles, il nous revient en tant que pays africain de prendre nos responsabilités pour augmenter la part du commerce interafricain.
If it is true that the existence of these insidious barriers, which more often are non-tariff, can restrain our ambitions, it calls then upon us as African countries to take our responsibilities to improve inter-African trade.
Je pense que les trois actions définies à travers le thème peuvent nous permettre de régler ce problème.
I think the three axes of actions that are mentioned in the theme, that is innovate, integrate, and industrialize, those can help us, you know, achieve inter-African trade.
Innover, nous pouvons atteindre l'innovation grâce à la recherche.
That can only be achieved through research.
That was Togolese President Fore Nasibe speaking at the official opening of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo. Some Zimbabweans have described the trade fair as low-key, noting that it no longer serves any purpose. But trade fair officials maintain that the event is still relevant in today's modern business, as it shows they have diversified over the years to cater for the needs of exhibitors.
Togolese President Fore Nasibe has come under heavy criticism from some Zimbabweans for his style of leadership and refusal to embrace term limits. Togo is one of the tiniest of countries in Africa, a sliver of land squeezed between Ghana and Benin. Nasibe, who is on his third term, came into power in 2005 after the death of his father, Gasimbe Eyadema, Africa's longest-serving ruler who succumbed to a heart attack in 2005. Eyadema had seized the presidency of Togo in a coup in 1967. It was perhaps fear for their careers that prompted the top military brass to ignore the constitution, which called for the Speaker of Parliament to be made interim president pending elections in 60 days, and elevated Mr. Ayadema's son instead.
The Speaker, who was abroad when Mr. Ayadema died, stayed there. Togo's parliament quickly amended the constitution for the benefit of the ruling elite, but international pressure forced Lome to hold elections. Nearly 800 people were allegedly killed by the security forces after protesting what they alleged to be electoral fraud. Various nations condemned the elections and the way the situation was handled by the Economic Community of West African States and the African Union. Some political analysts see parallels in what is happening in Lome and Harare. But Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Joy Bima, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Nasibe came at the invitation of President Mugabe as the two countries seek to build closer ties.
This is an arrangement which was reached between President Mugabe and the Togolese president. He passed through Harare sometime last year, and then President Mugabe indicated that he would want to invite him to Zimbabwe. And he said, yes, he wants to come if invited. And so normally we invite a head of state each time we have the trade fair, and he thought this is the right time to invite him.
And how are relations between Harare and Togo?
We have not had a lot of interaction between us, but it seems the president and the president of Togo have hit some form of camaraderie, and it may be a new chapter in our relationship with Togo.
But members of the opposition are saying, well, he was not the right person to invite because he came to power initially backed by the military, though he later on won a democratic election.
The issue is right now he was elected democratically. There are a lot of leaders, a number of leaders in Africa who came that way, but now are elected and they are as legitimate as anybody else.
That was Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Joy Bima, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Bulawayo.
Blessing Zulu also reached international relations expert Clifford Mashiri, who is also a former diplomat at the Zimbabwe Embassy in Ethiopia, who says Nasibe and President Mugabe have so much in common.
It's not an inspiring decision, not inspiring in the sense that the way this gentleman or leader was installed in power or came to power is very controversial, considering that in 2005 the elections were contested or were disputed, and also there was bloodshed involving about 500 people, and that is very tragic. Until that history is erased, which has not been, it's very difficult to accept a person like that with bloodshed in his hands to come and officiate in Zimbabwe, given also the controversial history of the current regime.
But does this bring any economic benefit to Zimbabwe, the invitation of the Togolese president?
Hardly will it bring any investment, because first and foremost, investors also want inspiration from those who come and officiate. When they look at the history or the profile of the one who's opening and find that his hands are bloodstained, at least so it's alleged, you know, they are not inspired. They will know very well that it's a case of a dictator coming to rescue a fellow dictator, and their future, the future of their investments are not guaranteed. And that has been seen by way of, you know, the violations of these investment protection agreements. The government of Zimbabwe has violated them. So there is nothing that will change because Nasibe has come and officiated there.
That was international relations expert Clifford Mashiri, a former diplomat at the Zimbabwe Embassy in Ethiopia, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Britain.
Still at the ZITF showgrounds, some exhibitors have expressed confidence that they will strike lucrative deals at this year's trade fair. Charmaine Hassan, director of Botswana company Solarmatics, tells Studio 7 FM is optimistic that they will reap huge rewards at the annual event.
I have a company called Solarmatics Botswana, who are manufacturers of solar water heaters based in Francistown, Botswana. I'm very excited about the interest that this trade fair has shown, because what we've established is that we're giving people another choice of a solar water heater from the tubular type. There are four potential very serious deals which we have to firm up on with the paperwork and all that. All we need is to do the paperwork. It's my first time to exhibit at this trade fair. I sincerely think that it's very good for business, for people like us just across the border. I think it's very good for us to come back, and especially next year we might have new products to bring into the market.
That was Charmaine Hassan, director of Botswana company Solarmatics, speaking to Studio 7 at the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair.
Still at the ZITF, Tanganda Tea Company operations manager Farai Garai had this to say about his firm and participating at the trade fair this year.
From our estates, I think we get about 65% we export, 35% we retain in Zimbabwean markets. The company has got more than enough tea to feed the Zimbabweans. Inquiries, yes, we are getting. We are just hoping those inquiries are going to turn out into deals. We have new products, as you see, we've got Moringa. We launched Moringa about 6 months ago, doing so well. 2 years ago, we launched our healthy green tea. It's doing so well as well. We are rebranding some of our products. Tanganda is a company. We employ close to 4,000 people.
That was Farai Garai, operations manager of Tanganda Tea Company, speaking with Studio 7. Some countries exhibiting at this year's trade fair include Russia, Botswana, Ethiopia, Germany, and several others. There are also hundreds of local exhibitors.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
workers struggle to make ends meet as they prepare to commemorate Labor Day.
Will Dynamos beat Caps United this weekend?
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
South Africa's High Court ruled today that state prosecutors must revisit a decision in 2009 to drop nearly 800 corruption-related charges against President Zuma.
The U.S. military has disciplined 16 service members for their role in a deadly airstrike in Afghanistan last year that killed 42 people and destroyed a hospital run by the International Medical Charity Doctors Without Borders, and it has concluded the incident was not a war crime.
The future of Africa's elephants and their habitats is the focus of a three-day high-level summit in Kenya.
Most workers in Zimbabwe's southeastern city of Mashingo say they are facing deteriorating working conditions, getting low salaries, and generally struggling to make ends meet due to a depressed local economy, which has resulted in low production in many companies. The workers say, as a result, Labor Day has become an ordinary event since they are doing what they call non-rewarding formal and informal jobs in Zimbabwe. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports.
One of the most disgruntled workers is Sheila Gakava, an employee of the local branch of the National Railways of Zimbabwe, who says there's nothing to celebrate on Labor Day.
In the past, this used to be an important day in my life, but not anymore. I have not been paid for 7 months, and I can't fend for my family. My children are dropping out of school, and so to say I'm celebrating May Day, to me, does not make sense. I'm working, but I have nothing. Like in Zimbabwe, yes, we are going to work, but working for what? It's working for nothing. We are getting peanuts.
Another local worker, Zakaria Chikwenya, says most employees are working for nothing.
There's nothing much to celebrate. We are having economic hardships. Employees haven't been paid for a very long time in this country. Obviously, we'll be celebrating our poverty, hoping maybe we'll achieve something in the future. It's only hope that is keeping us alive. We don't think that we have a solution as of now, but hope maybe if things change in the future, maybe we have a better future as workers.
Zimbabwe's largest workers' representative body, the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, or ZCTU, says although the labor situation is bad in the country, it is going ahead with national preparations for Labor Day. Michael Kandukutu, ZCTU National Organizing Director, says preparations are at an advanced stage for marking the Labor Day.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions is going to be commemorating Workers' Day in 30 centers of our various regions that we have. Our structures and our members in the respective centers are busy fundraising and also busy organizing and mobilizing for workers to be able to attend this day. This day, we are commemorating it under the theme Defending Workers' Constitutional Rights, Our Prerogative. We believe that as the ZCTU, we now have a constitution of the country, and we now believe that it is our right as ZCTU to demand and protect the rights of workers that they have in terms of the constitution. These rights vary from the right to land, which is very cardinal, the right to work, labor rights as enshrined by the constitution, the right to an environment. So we are saying that the constitution becomes our rallying point as ZCTU.
ZCTU bemoan the violations of workers' rights in the country and the general decay of the economy, which it says is contributing towards the impoverishment and suffering of workers. ZCTU Gender Director Fiona Magaya says women are facing serious challenges and violations of their rights and continue to suffer more despite their rights being enshrined in Zimbabwe's constitution.
Most of our male counterparts believe that women are not good leaders, believe that women belong in the kitchen. But actually, women are and can be good leaders if given the opportunity and if given the skill. And in the workplace, there's a lot of sexual harassment. Some people that are in authority, they request sexual favors as a condition for you to go up the ladder. And that is a serious violation of our rights as women. And even if we look into the political arena, you find that the issues that have been well dealt with in the law or in our policies to achieve gender equality are not being enforced, even in the parliament. For example, we claim to have a 60 seats that are strictly reserved for women. But in reality, how many women are in parliament? And in reality, how many women ministers, authentic ministers, not deputies, are there in parliament? So you find that sometimes we speak about things, but we don't actually put them into practice.
Kandukutu says workers in Zimbabwe are facing a number of challenges.
Well, looking at the commemoration of Workers' Day, in the past it used to be a celebration, but not anymore, because the workers in Zimbabwe currently have been faced by a number of challenges, particularly some of them emanating from the July 17 Supreme Court ruling, where we saw about 28,000 of workers being laid off. Some of those workers are yet to be reinstated by the employers, because the employers have actually even gone to court to challenge the retrospectivity element of the Labor Amendment Act No. 5. So it's a battle that we still have. Workers are now faced with serious situations of non-payment of salaries. We have workers that have gone on a record 77 months with no salaries, but the government and the employers expect those workers to be surviving. So non-payment becomes an issue. We are also faced with a challenge where our government, the ministers, are promoting labor market flexibility, where they are bringing in this concept that the employer can hire and fire labor as they wish, which is putting us back to the days of 1890, when the British South Africa Company and Cecil John Rhodes came to invade this country of ours. The battle is on, the fight continues, the struggle continues. That is why we are rallying behind our call, Shinga Mshandi Shinga.
Zimbabwe has declared the first day of May a national holiday to give workers a chance to commemorate Labor Day, but employees say the holiday has lost meaning. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, this is Gandhi Maramba.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States and Vietnam are deepening and broadening their ties in many areas. In a speech to university students in Vietnam, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke about the culture required for entrepreneurship to flourish and how all nations and citizens share a stake in cultivating and upholding such a culture. In order for Vietnam to become a leader in technology and innovation, it must encourage an educational system that promotes critical thinking, creativity, and experimentation. Moreover, entrepreneurship and innovation thrive in a policy environment that promotes growth through transparency, the rule of law, the protection of intellectual property, and predictable regulations that enable all companies to compete on a level playing field. The task at hand is for Vietnam to consolidate its two decades of tremendous economic gains. An important means of doing that is through the Trans-Pacific Partnership, of which Vietnam is an original signatory. The TPP is a trade agreement that will bring 40% of the global economy together behind the highest labor, environment, and intellectual property protections in the world. Another central ingredient to Vietnam's economic success is respect for human rights. A vibrant culture of entrepreneurship, said Deputy Secretary Blinken, is almost unimaginable without a foundation of rights and freedoms upon which citizens feel able to pursue their ambitions, express their opinions, and bring their ideas to life. The U.S. urges the government of Vietnam to release all political prisoners and cease harassment, arrests, and prosecutions of journalists, bloggers, civil society activists, or students for exercising their fundamental rights. And finally, Vietnam, as part of the global economy, has a growing responsibility to participate, along with the U.S. and others, in efforts to tackle issues from international peacekeeping to wildlife trafficking to maritime security, from climate change to civil nuclear energy to global health. The United States looks forward to continuing to expand its partnership with Vietnam.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, the debate on who are the kings of Harare football between the Green Machine of Caps United and the Glamour Boys of Dynamos will be settled Sunday. Our reporter Michael Cariati previews the much-talked-about Harare derby.
Who will it be? Will it be the steam-rolling Caps United? Or the struggling glamour boys of Dynamos.
Viva Dynamos! Pamberinesu, guys!
That question will be answered at Rufaro Stadium Sunday when the two teams test each other's strength in one of the biggest derbies in African football. This game is classified alongside those between Al Ahly and Zamalek in Egypt, Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates in South Africa, as well as the one between Asante Kotoko and Hearts of Oak in Ghana. And a capacity crowd should be at Rufaro Stadium to join in the action. The two teams are going through contrasting fortunes, with the Green Machine on the better side, but renowned football analyst Stanley Katsande has pointed out that in such high-tempo matches, form does not count.
It's always a high-profile occasion, and this time around it's no exception. And we expect current form to count for nothing, because the last thing that each of these teams would like to see happen is losing.
Caps United have not beaten Dynamos in a league match since 2009, but the Green Machine's vice-captain Moses Mchenge says they would want to put an end to that Dynamos dominancy.
They've been dominating us, and on Sunday, we want to stop that. We want to win.
The day will also mark another test for under-fire Dynamos coach Jorge Paulo Silva. The Portuguese coach is sitting on his second game of his three-match must-win ultimatum and will be sacked should he lose to the Green Machine. Caps United supporter William Tungwa believes Dynamos' game against the former Cup Kings will mark the end of Silva's association with the 2008 Cup Champions League semi-finalist.
Just as good as saying you pack your bags and go. And for him, I think he's almost going to face the X after Sunday's game.
However, Silva himself is aware of the stakes on offer and has promised his fans celebration after the match talked about game.
To the fans of the Diamonds, I know it's a derby and everyone wants to win the derby, and I hope this Sunday give the 3 points more the derby win to the fans.
Knowledge Mtambara, a member of the Zimbabwe National Soccer Supporters Association, sees nothing wrong with Silva and believes the Portuguese national is a good coach and will lead the Glamour Boys to victory over their bitter rivals.
Dynamos is going to win the match. The coach seems to be knowing what he's doing.
Dynamos have recalled forgotten striker Evans Gwekerere. Now to rugby. The curtain comes down on the 2016 Under-20 World Cup World Trophy with a final between Samoa and Spain set for Harare Sports Club Sunday. The final had initially been scheduled for the National Sports Stadium, but had to be moved due to low attendance figures. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Some interesting music there from Peter Tosh and Mick Jagger saying Don't Look Back, coming to you from Studio 7 at the Voice of America.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about the ongoing Zimbabwe International Trade Fair.
If you wish to join the discussion, call us on 001-202-619-2077.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Praxidis Jeremiah. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a very good night and a great workers' weekend.